Te-de-da-da, Madhava, Kunyavihadi, Dadhamadhava, Kunyavihadi. Radha-madhava kunya-vihari Gopi jana vallabha Girivara dhari Gopi jana vallabha Girivara dhari Gopi jana vallabha Girivara dhari Navallabha Girivara dhari Yasoda nandana Raja janaran jana Nana Raja jana anjana Yasoda nandana Raja jana ranjana Nana Raja jana ranjana Yamuna tira Vanachari Yamuna tira Vanachari Vanachari Vidhaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada Chila, Prabhupada Jaya Gauranithai, Jaya Gauranithai, Gauranithai, Jaya Gauranithai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravaraja Gacharya Ashtata Satasi Simat Estivaingre Sila Ave Charana Ravinda Sila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Sila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Go. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to Sisi Guru and Shikuranga. Oh, glories. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Once again, Hare Krishna, so nice to be here and to see so many pilgrims who have come from far and near. So nice to see our Govinda and his Nisha. Singhadwara, ne? Singhadwara, child. Our Gomohan is here. Sanak Sanatan with his entire family. They are bridge basis. They have made our place sacred. Yes, yes. Gopi Gita and her two young lions who have to go to school, no? Even lions need to learn. I wanted to share with you something which has been very much in my mind. You know, we hear from Krishna. Krishna gives many promises to his devotees. And one of them is that he protects his devotees. Kunteya pratijanahi name bhakta pranashyati. Yes, he says those who are exclusively devoted to him, he gives them what they need and maintains what they have. He says he is equal to all living beings, but he is particularly inclined to to be there for his devotees. Yet we can see that devotees in this world seem to undergo also their struggles. These struggles may be health struggles, or just the recent weeks we had many requests for prayers from the from the areas where there's armed conflict going on, you know, military invasions and all these things. So I know of a devotee in Split who has to go through very severe operations in the hospital, and the question may be at times, does Krishna really mean it when he says he protects his devotees and he takes care of his devotees? And we might think, what is with me when I'm no longer young and healthy? Will I maybe have to go also through these intense times of, you know, when I'm almost feel alone at all? So this has been very much in my mind, especially also since I saw God brothers becoming really ill, suffering from what is called dementia. They forget everything. And I want to address this. My lecture is called The Fire Tests of Krishna. Yes. So please listen carefully. I need to first understand, you all speak English, or you understand me? Yes? We are translating in Russian language. Acha. Wie bitte? Da ist in Deutsch, ja? Ist das denn eine gute Übersetzung?
Ja.
Gut. Gut. Schön. So, please, my dear devotees, you need to be totally awake during this lecture. Otherwise, you will have only half benefit. I'm just already saying. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All of us. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Te lo catapena, sadava prayaso janaha, paramaradanam tat di, purushasya kilat manaha. Tabhyante lokata pena, sadava prayasho janaha, paramaradhanam tat di, purushasya kilat manaha. Yes, but someone please chant from you.
Tabhyante lokatapena.
Tabhyante lokatapena.
Sadhavana prasayojanaha.
Sadhavana prasayojanaha.
Paramaradanam taddi.
Paramaradanam taddi.
Purushasya
akhilatmanaha. Tabhyante lokatapena.
Tabhyante
lokatapena. Sadhava
tayasodhamaha.
One Vaishnavi, please, also.
Tabhyante lokatapena.
Tabhyante lokatapena.
Sadhava prayasojanaha.
Sadhava prayasojanaha.
Paramaradhanam taddhi.
Paramaradhanam taddhi. It is said, let us go. Tabhyante, voluntarily suffer. Lokatapena, because of the suffering of people in general.
Sadhavaha,
saintly persons.
Prayashaha,
almost always. Janaha, such persons.
Paramaradhanam,
the topmost method of worshipping.
That activity.
He indeed. Purushasya,
of the Supreme Person.
Akhilatmanaha, who is the super soul of everyone. The translation. You must first of all know the context. This is about a huge project. The devatas and the asuras were once churning the ocean, like you churn a pot of milk to get perhaps butter from it. So they were churning the ocean to get all types of valuable things from it, and in the process a very dangerous and huge quantity of poison appeared, which could potentially destroy the entire civilization. All the devatas and demons and the rest of the universe could have been burned by this poison. But Lord Shiva came and he swallowed this poison and held it in his throat, which caused some inconvenience to him. A line appeared there. So this is commented now by Shukadev Goswami, who describes that that great personality, it's typical for great personality to take upon them some difficulty and some suffering. So here is the translation for you. Shukadev Goswami says, it is said that great personality almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart. Amazing, no? People on the spiritual path, they take on voluntary suffering. In our Western civilization, we hear
of one great example of a person who undertook a lot of suffering for the benefit of others. I'm thinking of Jesus Christ, who agreed really to this most painful experience of being crucified. So, purport. Here is an explanation of how those engaged in activities for the welfare of others are quickly recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Ya idam paramang kuyam mat bhaktesh vabidasyati na cha tasmang manushyeshu kashyan me priyakritama. One who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita to my devotees is most dear to me. No one can excel him in satisfying me by worship. There are different kinds of welfare activities in this material world. But the supreme welfare activity is the spreading of Krishna consciousness. Other welfare activities cannot be effective, for the laws of nature and the results of karma cannot be checked. No, we may try to help people by offering them food, cloth, money and so on, a fine education, but if they have the karma to suffer, then all these attempts to help them will go in vain. Therefore Prabhupada says Krishna consciousness, where people awake from the misery of material life, is the best welfare activity. Other welfare activities cannot be effective, for the laws of nature and the results of karma cannot be checked. No? It is by destiny or the laws of karma that one must suffer or enjoy. For instance, if one is given a court order, he must accept it, whether it brings suffering or profit. Similarly, everyone is under obligations to karma and its reactions. No one can change this. Therefore, the Shastra says, Tasyaiva heto prayate to kovido nalapyate yat brahmatam upariyada. One should endeavor for that which is never obtained by wandering up and down the universe as a result of the reactions of karma. What is that? One should endeavor to become Krishna conscious. If one tries to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, he should be understood to be performing the best welfare activity. Jai Srila Prabhupada. The Lord is automatically very pleased with him. If the Lord is pleased with him, what is left for him to achieve? Prabhupada asks this. If the Lord is happy with someone, is there anything that is still missing in their life? No. If one has been recognized by the Lord, even if he does not ask the Lord for anything, the Lord, who is within everyone, supplies him whatever he wants. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Tesham nitya biyuktanam yogakshemam vaham yaham. Again, as stated here, tapyante lokatapena sadava prayaso janaha. The best welfare activity is raising people to the platform of Krishna consciousness, since the conditioned souls are suffering only for want of pizza. Someone is listening to me. Okay, let us have this again. I might again say the wrong thing. You have to check me. the best welfare activity is raising people to the platform of Krishna consciousness, since the conditioned souls are suffering only for want of Krishna consciousness. That's the right thing. The Lord Himself also comes to mitigate the suffering of humanity. Now some Sanskrit for all of us who relish Sanskrit. Yada yada hidanamasya glani bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shijamyam paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapana taya sambhavami yuge yuge. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in a religious practice or descendant of Bharata and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion. I advent myself millennium after millennium. All the Shastras conclude, therefore, that spreading the Krishna consciousness movement is the best welfare activity in the world because of the ultimate benefit this bestows upon people in general. The Lord very quickly recognizes such service performed by a devotee. Please say with me the pranam mantras to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivesesa Sunyavari Paskatyare Sadarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitananda Shri Advaita Garada Jivasari Go Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. As we heard in the very beginning, the opening of the class, Krishna has promised in the Bhagavad Gita and in his other spoken words to protect his devotees, to be by their side and to help them as they move through this world. There's even a verse in the 18th chapter which says to those who are devoted to me, I help them, Machita Savadurgani, to overcome all the obstacles of material life by my help. So a good proof, or let us say example of Krishna's help is how he protected Arjuna. Krishna once remembered how he visited Arjuna in the palace of Virata. Who knows why Arjuna was in the palace of Virata? Yes, Govinda Prabhu?
He was hiding.
He was hiding, actually, for the last year of... They were meant to be in exile for 12 years and one extra year, the 13th year, where they had to hide so that the Kauravas would not able to find them. The condition was, if they would, the Pandavas would be found in that 13th year, their exile would again be prolonged by another 12 years. And then again, 1 year hiding, and if they would be found, again. Hare Krishna. So Krishna visited Arjuna in that palace. At that time, Arjuna had grown long, long hair and bound it in a braid. he was acting like a eunuch. And only eunuchs were allowed to enter the woman quarters of the palace, and he was teaching actually the princess how to dance. He was a dance teacher. He liked dancing. He was an artistic man, and he could use his artistic tendency to hide in that last year of the exile. So Krishna wanted to see his friend. Is everything going all right with you? So Krishna remembers this. When I arrived in the palace of Virat, just before the war, Arjuna came out and greeted me with the words that I can never forget. He said, O Keshava, O Krishna, you are my brother and my best friend. Truly, you are dearer to me than anyone else in this world. Keshava, I dedicate my life to you. No one else except you can protect me. At that time, Krishna said, I gave a promise to Arjuna. I said, oh, Pata means the son of Kunti, I promise you, there will be war, but not a single hair will fall from your head. Krishna proved this. You remember at the last day of the battle, Krishna drove the chariot to the camp of the Pandavas and told Arjuna to get down from the chariot, which Arjuna did, and then Krishna jumped from the chariot. At the moment he leapt off the chariot burned to ashes, Gopi Gita. The reason was there were so many weapons, curses, brahmastras hanging over the chariot, and they could not be effective because Krishna had given this promise, not a hair, Arjuna, will come from your head. And Krishna had kept all this away from Arjuna. So this is a very, very outstanding example of Krishna protecting his devotees. He must have made an invisible shield of protection which could not be penetrated even by the heavy weapons of Grandfather Bhishma, of Dronacharya, and all the other Maharatis who were fighting with Arjuna. They were ineffective. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, my dear Lord, if you want to protect someone, no one can do any harm to such a person. However, if you want to do harm to a person, no one and nothing in the world can protect such a person. No, you have heard this song. So here is a promise of Krishna, which he to protect his devotee. And he has, by the way, this is not a promise only given to Arjuna. It is a promise, a general promise, which holds true to all devotees, wherever they are, at whichever time they exist. It's a promise which also holds true to the devotees in modern times, no?
or Kunteya Pratijanihi Nami Bhakta Pranashati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Yet, my dear devotees, and yesterday we were having this nice sangha with the young people, and we dealt with doubts. Let me now raise a doubt. We see in our own experience that devotees have to go through very difficult tests, and we may ask ourselves, is Krishna really protecting them? I mean, is this really? Is he? We will be surprised to see that, no? I remember here near to the farm is one devotee. I think she has left her body. She did so much seva, the wife of one devotee, and she was so tied to the wheelchair. She really was not functioning. And even in Krishna Leela or Ram Leela, we hear of a test that makes us cry. When the war of had been fought and Ravan was finally defeated and all the demons' army were Ram had become victorious, Ram told Hanuman, go now to where Sita is and tell her the war is over and she can come and meet me here. So Hanuman was very excited. He knew where Mother Sita was. Do you remember in which forest she stayed? Ashokvan. You see, Ashokvan. No trouble forest, but there was a lot of trouble. So she was brought in a palanquin. She was carried by strong palanquin bearers, and she was being a very shy wife of Ram. She had put the curtains in the palanquin, but everyone, all the Vanaras, all the soldiers on Ram's army had fought for her only, and they said, please, please remove the curtain. We want to see you for whom we have fought this war. And then Sita removed the curtain and stepped down. Ram had watched all this, and the moment Sita stepped down from the palanquin, an unexpected reaction came. His face became stoic, like a Russian face, we cannot read any expression. There are many things going on in the heart, but it's just a cultural thing of having a Russian face. It is fantastic, you know. So, but Ram's face became stoic. You would expect at that moment that he would cry tears of love and rush over to Sita, and Sita would bow to his lotus feet and so on. But nothing of that happened. Instead, Ram said, I have killed Ravan. Sita, you can now go wherever you want. Not come back into my palace and let us live. Go. In this go, there was a lot was unexpressed. What was unexpressed is that at that time in the Vedic culture, when a married woman would stay even only for a night in the house of someone else, you know, except for a close relative, the husband would not take her back or receive her back because of the suspicion that why are you in the house of someone else? There must have been something going on. So Sita looked at Ram and said, "You are talking to me like a common man who deals with a village woman? Don't you know how much I love you? I cannot bear the suffering. I can bear the suffering of being kidnapped and held prison in a forest, but not to be rejected by you. Let me now enter the fire and prove my innocence. If I have thought for even a millisecond of someone else than you, Ram, may I be burned in the fire." You know, imagine millions of soldiers have fought only for this one moment to see Ram and Sita reunited in love and affection. And now this, Ram rejects her, and Sita on top of it wants to enter the burning flames of fire. This is suicide. So Ram said, "This is a very good idea. Lakshman, bring the wood." So Lakshman brings the wood, makes a fire, and while he does this, he says, "I will never, never, never again appear as the younger brother of God, because the younger brother has to follow the older. But this will never happen again. I will be appearing in the future always at the older, so that I don't have to do such things." And that's how he appeared as who?
Balaram,
exactly. And in Gaura Leela? Do you know everything? Yes, wonderful. So the older brother always tells the younger brother what to do, not the other way around. The fire was lit and Sita entered the fire. At that moment, those who looked very carefully could see how Ram turned his face away from the crowd and cried. Something was going on behind the apparent thing. And out of the fire came Agnidev, the god of fire, carrying a luminous, brilliant-looking Sita. Sita went to Ram, paid her obeisances, and Ram turned to her and embraced her. This was a fire test. Wow! Even to talk about this, my dear devotees, I have goosebumps because it's so intense. So now we are bewildered. On one hand, Krishna promises to protect his devotees. Then the greatest devotee, the greatest, those who worship him most, they are put through a test. A similar test is there in Krishna Leela. Do you all remember how Krishna had called the gopis to leave their villages, their husbands? And when they came to see him in the middle of the Vrindavan forest, he had told them to, "Now you have seen the forest, you may return. This is not a good place for a married woman to meet with a young person." So, what is this? Is Krishna holding his promise? Is he liking the devotees, or is it the other way around? And he just tests them or puts them through trouble. I once asked one of my god brothers, who I have great affection for, His Holiness Jaipataka Maharaj. Perhaps you know, he has served very hard to spread Krishna consciousness and has built up the Mayapur project and many, many preaching projects in the world, Namhata, book distribution and so on. He's really a very soft-hearted and very strong preacher, and he had to undergo and still has to undergo a lot of physical challenges. He once was attacked in the airport and his throat was cut, and he miraculously survived that. And a few years ago, I think he had a surgery. Please help me. Was it two kidneys needed to be replaced and the lungs?
First a liver transplant,
the whole liver, and then kidney, both kidneys,
I think one.
Yeah, so this is a heavy surgery, which is difficult to survive. And then he has a stroke. He cannot speak so super clear with his tongue. And I asked him, Maharaj, I have a doubt. Krishna says he protects his devotees, but are you not a devotee? I didn't say it like this, but he has not protected you, no? And then Maharaj said something very deep, which you will have to think a little bit before you understand it. He said, Krishna may not always protect the body, but he protects the consciousness. Now I see here a few disciples of His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj. I would like to remind all of us, or especially the disciples, of something that Maharaj said that was very similar. He said it towards the end of his life. He said, people come to me with a funeral face. He had a very poetic way of expressing himself. And they say to me, we are so sorry that soon you have to die. But they are lamenting for something that was never alive in the first place, the body. The body is like a shirt, and the person inside, the living person, gives life to and form and shape and movement to the shirt. In the same way, it's the soul who gives life to the body. No, you have heard this in the class, and you have maybe accepted it in a class, but has this already registered in life? No. So he said they lament for the body which was never alive in the first place. So then he concludes. Then I asked him, should you lament for me, or should I lament for you? That you were an illusion. Have you heard that we are not the body, that we are eternal soul? Is it something you, are you accepting, Gopi Gita? Is that, that's an interesting perspective on life, no? We are in eternal soul. We are really a part of Krishna. And for some time, we are inhabiting the body and giving life to the body. When we go, the body will not continue to live, it will die and will decompose and so on. Like a shirt, when you in the morning take off the old shirt which is worn, the shirt will fall on the ground and it will lose all the shape, it will just lie there it's just a shirt. So my dear devotees, the protection which is granted by Krishna is to the consciousness of the devotees who take shelter in him absolutely. Krishna protects the consciousness. And if you please remember in your life when you had difficulties, I think all of us have seen illness in this life, all of us have seen disappointments, all of us have seen misunderstanding, where we went through misunderstanding. We have seen in our lives that we were bewildered perhaps, or at least a little covered. Sometimes we didn't do so well, but many times when you go through these difficulties, you don't think it's a problem. I do remember I was in this life a few times in hospitals, you know, for surgery, and Krishna always gave me the strength in consciousness to go through it, and I would preach to the people in my room, you know, and to the doctors. I remember once I was in hospital. I was so joyful. I invited one devotee to play violin, and we sang Hare Krishna. And still, the hospital knows. There was so much music in my room, and then the devotees, I said, shouldn't she just go to on the corridors? And the doctor says, yes, this is such a sad place. And and all the patients, yes, wonderful, life is good. The consciousness, my dear devotees, the consciousness is protected. Your body cannot be protected. It is a material thing, but the consciousness can. I still remember in my life, once I was in Mumbai for a month for Ayurvedic treatment, and I would go by car to the temple, to Chaupati, and once on, you know, we always stopped at the street crossing. When there was, I don't know if there were a red light, maybe there was just a police person who told us to stop. And once a beggar came, he was having no legs, he was on a little wooden plank with little iron wheels, and he was coming and rolling to our car and opened his hand. And he was smiling so nicely. I remember, so I was very much moved. I told to my driver, can we please drive to the site and call the beggar? And the driver, it was a devotee, said to the beggar, come. And we went to the site, and I gave the beggar a donation and some prasadam. And then I asked through the driver, may I ask you a question? The beggar was a little he looked so happy, but he was a little shy, but yes. And then I asked, may I know where you live? And he pointed to the sidewalk, you know, the walkway, and there was from from Katun, a little Katun house. Katun, I'm not sure.
Cardboard,
thank you. Cardboard box, you know. He lived in a cardboard box. I felt a little uncomfortable. He was the rich Swami, you know, relatively rich. Oh, yes. So very uncomfortable. I said, "No, no, teak, teak, teak. It's all right." And he looked just very happy. And I asked him. I'm sorry. I really felt like a beggar in this moment. What is the cause of your happiness? Why are you happy? This is in the West. If someone lives in a cardboard box, I don't even know if it's possible. It's too cold, I think, you know? But imagine, even if he has a kerosene burner in there, it's still a little. You know, when you go through to the homeless people in Berlin, you can see them and see how they live. Ooh, phew. And I said, "You're so happy." And he said, "Yes." He said, "The Lord is in the heart." And then he said something I never forget. "The temple of the heart is open 24 hours a day. Best place. 24 hours a day, the temple of the heart, where I can meet the Lord, is open." Beautiful, no? We have respect of this beggar. No? So the happy beggar told me this lesson that, yes, when the consciousness is all right, then your external circumstances don't. They are not so important any longer. Therefore, my dear devotees, I want to request you to think about it. Your Krishna consciousness should not be something that is only an external ritual. You dress in the way you speak the right words. You live in a vegetarian way with food that is offered. It should become an inner thing where you are actually in contact with the Lord as he is in the heart, or as he is on the altar, and as he is ever present. You know, in this time, there are many fireworks in Krishna consciousness. People who do big, our devotees do big things, and now we asked, this is important for us, how much money did you collect, how much this new project costs, and so on. But Krishna is more interested in the consciousness of his devotees. Fireworks come and go, but a steady burning flame is always there. There should be less show, but more soul. No? Less show, but more soul. Because we will be tested by Krishna for our devotion. We will be tested. Is our consciousness steady? The test is already coming up. It's already known. At the time of death, your consciousness will be tested. Did you know this? Whatever you have in your consciousness at the time of death, that's where you will go. That's the. It's not. Do you have a nice wristwatch? A good apartment. You know, this is not. Not the test of life. This is, it's no problem to have a nice wristwatch and a nice apartment, but it's not the first, it's not the most important. The most important is our consciousness. So if we know that a test is coming up, what will we do? I think you prepare for the test. Let me give you an example. When here in the farm, we know around November, winter is coming, and if you want to see a real winter, come to the farm. All other winters are imitation winters, but here you can see the original winter, the original feature. You can know what it is. So when winter comes, we are preparing ourselves on the farm. We are poor, but still we will buy some oil, no? For the heating system. We will buy oil, we will put the potatoes in the barn that they are not available because there's not so much food which grows in the winter. We prepare ourselves nicely. So to prepare yourself for the tests of the Lord, which will come, where the Lord will help you to come to the consciousness level, where he will test you, where you need to prepare yourself a little bit. And what I will tell now is something very much for devotees. You need to have, first of all, spiritual inspiration in your life. That is very important. I do not want to be critical, but it was not so easy to do kirtan with you because you need to be a little bit more inspired, my dear devotees. One had to pull you a little bit. So spiritual inspiration will come really by doing one little thing. Listen now, it is something new. It's something old, which I will express in new words. You need to learn to spend time alone with Krishna. Time alone with Krishna. Because during that time, you are connecting with Krishna. I want to say, I think you know Gaur Krishna. I'm a member of the Gaur Krishna Bhajan band. I'm often invited to do kirtans and speak about the holy name and travel all over the world. My travels are paid by the temples. I'm in a very, very, very privileged situation. But I know if I myself am not inspired about chanting the holy name and addressing Krishna, I will not be able to inspire others. I know this. I have seen this. And therefore, I need in my japa, I need to have focused japa time where I spend time alone with Krishna and chant for him, because it's during that time when we are just addressing Krishna where our sambandha, our relationship becomes revitalized. It gets new life. Don't we all know this, that sometimes life is just too busy and then we say, Prabhu, I need to read a little bit. I have not read for the last 20 years. I'm speaking realistically, I hope. I need to now be a little bit, because we know in that time when I just stay with Krishna, I relate to Krishna and Krishna responds. He says, in whatever degree someone surrenders to me, I reveal myself. Krishna comes. So this time alone with Krishna, believe me, it is very important so that Krishna becomes real for you. That it's not that you are not just believing that he is somewhere there, but that you know he is there for me. I have felt him in when I was chanting or reading or so on. You can be also alone in a crowd with Krishna, like when you do your darshan of Lord Nrisimhadev. Yes, you are with a community, then. But you should personally pray to Lord Nrisingadeva. You don't look left and right, you look in the front to Lord Nrisingadeva. So that's the first thing which will make you strong inside. Can you understand time alone with Krishna? Vrem, vrem, sa Krishnum. Well, that's Yugoslavian and not... that's even not Yugoslavian, that's nothing. Time alone with Krishna. Then I would like to remember what Keshava Maharaj said. I found it very nice. As spiritual people, we want to contribute. This is necessary. So we might find, you have to find your mission within the mission. The bigger mission is the Krishna consciousness movement, but you need to find your place in it where you can contribute. Let me give you an example. I spent a lot of my time in Schloss Rettershof, a nice spacious temple in Germany. It was an old castle, and there was the temple president. He was managing very nicely. He was really taking care very nicely. And we also had a gardener who was always in the garden and doing gardening. We had Sankirtan devotees. There was the Bhakta program. But I must say, I could not fit in all this. I was not a good manager. I'm not a gardener. I'm a little of a gardener, but only little. Sankirtan, yes, sometimes, but all the time I found these people are just too wild outside. And so on. Bhakta program, yes, that position was already given away. I could imagine myself as a preacher in the Bhakta program. So, but I knew I needed to find something. And I found my mission in the mission was translating. I knew some English. It was very little at that time, but we needed books in German, and I translated as good as I could. It's not so good, but something. So you need to also find your mission in the mission. Your person. It might be sweeping the temple in the evening, putting the cushions where they belong. Something which you say, this is my thing, I do this for Krishna. And then we need to have some other things, physical well-being and emotional well-being. Physical well-being, you need to rest and eat enough. But emotional well-being is, the first rule is stop all the negative talk of your mind. That kills your inner happiness. And the mind in Kali Yuga is so sensitive, so oversensitive. And especially when you are a spiritual person, you are a little bit more sensitive and aware, and it can often turn into your worst enemy. You know, I see a few of you, there's a lot of negative self-talk going on. I can feel that already from the distance. Hare Krishna, why do you grieve so much? Why do you feel not happy? Krishna is there in the heart. Remember the beggar in Mumbai. Krishna is there on your altar. Krishna loves you the way you are. And my dear devotees, this will make you strong to pass all the tests of Krishna. Krishna, with his test, was to only point out that you must come away from the external platform and connect with him, with Krishna. I will end here and see if you have some questions. Ananda Krishna. Ananda Krishna, ne?
Yes.
Yeah. We have a microphone for you, then everyone can hear.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My question will refer a bit more to the lecture of yesterday, mm-hmm. when you spoke about the spiritual master. I heard a lecture recently by Hari Parshad Prabhu, mm-hmm. and I think you were even there at that time, where he spoke on the fundamentals of Smaranam. And then he spoke also that this is very important and should be practiced, and this should be inquired by the spiritual master how to practice a more specific Smaranam. So I would like to ask you, because this is not something we do so right now in a more structured way, but we need that, this is very important. So what would you say, could we do, or how should we apply this principle, what he spoke of, to also inquire from the guru how to do that?
That's a very nice question. You have all understood the question?
Mm-hmm.
It Smaranam, or remembering Krishna, is very important, because whatever you experience is dependent on your state of mind. The happiness is not out there, it is inside. We see that in the beggar, no? And we also see people who have not learned this and who make all arrangements. I'm thinking of the materialists who surround themselves with so many opulences, but because they have not taken care of purifying their mind, the mind wants more and more and more and is anxious and dissatisfied. So Smaranam is important. Now there are two ways in which Smaranam is practiced. One way is taught by Prabhupada to the general movement. The other way is left open, and he has indicated things about it, but not spoken so much about it. He spoke only rarely about it. The first way, which is how I think a devotee who's in Krishna consciousness starts Smaranam, is in the Vaidhi category, the category where you follow guidelines and do your devotion on the Vaidhi. The Padma Purana speaks about this kind of Smaranam. Smatavya satatam Vishnum vismatavyo na jatu jet. I always remember Krishna, never forget him. This is the essence of all the rules and the regulations. Everything is a servant of this principle. So always remember Krishna, never forget him. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives us this guidance in the 12th chapter of the Gita, how we can do this. He says, stop the flow of your ordinary thoughts and direct it to me in my beautiful form of Shyama Sundar. You know, what this means, Ananta Krishna, is that during the day you are checking yourself, what is the content of my mind, and then you try to think of Krishna. You think of Krishna in a very simple way. Prabhupada once said, I wrote these books so that you can think of God. You remember what you have heard, you remember what you say. I believe that you are a preacher and you have this wonderful channel, TV channel, you need to prepare things for your presentations, but you have to understand. This is the first level where you prepare content about Krishna to tell to others. Let's think of Krishna. Let's hear about Krishna. The second level is where you actually think of Krishna yourself. Prabhupada once wrote to us in Germany, "Yeah, I wrote these books for you, not for distribution to others. It's for you. You need to see how you can fill your thoughts of Krishna with Krishna throughout the day." Hare Krishna. What is the name of this child?
Gita Priya.
Gita Priya, Haribol. So you need to see how you can think of Krishna. It starts very simple. Prabhupada would say, when you drink water, think that I'm the taste of water. You think of Krishna when you drink your water. And you begin to extend this. But you need to train the mind like this. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives us an example. Ordinarily, our thoughts are always moving in one direction. Ordinary thoughts. Conditioned thoughts, what do they think about? Yeah, they think in relationship to the, eating, sleeping. Then there is a lot of thought about sense gratification of some thought. But I would say in Kali Yuga we think very much about fearing or our insecurities, you know. How do others perceive us? And so on. So this is an ordinary flow of thought which is there in every conditioned soul. It's normal. And you direct your thought to others. This is the Vaidhi principle, Vaidhi thought. Now there is another form of bhakti which Prabhupada speaks about in the Nectar of Instruction, text 8. It is the essence of all the instructions. It is to chant very nicely the holy name and to think of Krishna's activities in Braj, following the Brijbasis. And Prabhupada gives in the purport some instructions how one might do that. Those who are interested can read there and find their informations. He speaks about the different relationships to Krishna and how one relates to Krishna. That would be the Raganuga form of devotional service. In ISKCON, Raganuga is a bad word, but not so in the tradition of Gaudiya Vaishnava. There you understand that you can approach the Lord in two ways, through the Vaidhi principle and through the Raga principle. They are both they both are practiced. But I always like to say, because Prabhupada wanted a mass world movement, he mainly spoke about the Vaidhi way. You can't talk in the other. The other is for those who are already attracted to Krishna, but the Vaidhi way is for those who are yet to be attracted to Krishna. And I think it's good if a devotee starts practicing Smaranam in the Vaidhi way, remembering Krishna throughout the day, and then you will become convinced of Krishna and attracted to Krishna. And then you naturally want to know, well, what does Krishna do at this time of the day? No? Do you naturally want to do? The verses is when you try to practice Raganuga in a forced way. That is not possible, because it is based on spontaneous attraction. So to get that spontaneous attraction, or to have that, you need to practice in the Vaidhi way. If you are not yet attracted, that's it. I have given a lecture series on Smaranam in the Govardhan Retreat Center, I believe last year, not I believe, I know, last year, and spoken more extensively about this. It is very simple. It's the next step for, I think, all of us little older devotees. We see in our life, yes, we are doing everything, we are hearing Shravanam, we doing Kirtanam, but still our heart feels not always satisfied in our spiritual life, and we find even that we have difficulties in reading regularly, in completing our rounds regularly, and the difficulties are there because the attraction has not yet been born, and that comes when you think of Krishna. I believe you have a child also now. Yes, I see always our Gita Priya is such a sweet Gita Priya with such nice decoration in the hair, and I think the father naturally thinks, how is he doing? Is it because there's some attraction there? This is such a sweet child. One thinks naturally, how is Gita Priya? Has she enough to eat? Is the decoration enough? You know, and so on. That is natural. You think of someone you like. So this is how we have to practice Krishna consciousness. But really, Ananda Krishna, it starts when you are a little serious and thinks, okay, what do I think of the whole day? When do I think of Krishna? How much do I think of Krishna? And then you think, well, I guess something has to change in my life. I have to improve here. And this is in the beginning a practice. Like Abhyasa Rupa Bhakti, it's called, by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Your practice is to bring the mind from the ordinary flow of thought to Krishna. The way I personally do it, and that's how I can recommend it, when I speak with devotees, I always try to speak about Krishna, not just about problem solving or self-development tips and so on. They also have their place. And when I go, before I go to bed, I always read something about Krishna. Yesterday I was a little tired, but I still found 5 minutes to think, to read about Krishna. I have a very nice book which I like, Vrindavan Mahimamrita. And also to think about Krishna. Visit him at home, you know. Here is our Sanak Sanatana, with his entire family is there, the Nectar family. They live in Vrindavan, and you may ask, what do you recommend for my pilgrimage to Vrindavan? Like this, no? You can visit Vrindavan. I find is an Udipan. Udipan means an inspiration to think of Krishna. I mean, you can't miss him there. There's so many temples, and you can't be in Maya or in non-thinking of Krishna for a long time in Vrindavan. Something will happen, you know. Some people will come and say Hare Krishna to you, or tell you something they heard about Krishna and so on. Hey.
Have you all heard this? Always remember Krishna, never forget him. Don't you remember how often Prabhupada said this? This is a verse which is quoted so often. He was, we saw but we did not see. There are many things in Krishna consciousness which we know but we never knew them. Good, so thank you. Let me see, Gopi Gita is here. We have a microphone for you, Gopi Gita.
Krishna, thank you so much for the lecture. On this point, finding your mission within the mission. Often devotees come, especially if young devotees come, wondering what their mission is. Is it something which they completely have to find by themselves, or is there some way that we can empower them or assist them?
Yeah, yeah. It is said in Kali Yuga, strength lies in numbers. So, and sometimes it's good if you maybe talk with a few devotees. What could we suggest to this devotee? And then some suggestion is there. It is said, and you know, when you want to find your Swadharma, it's good to get the counsel of 5 brahmanas. So what I take from there is when people come together, they can tell the young person, why don't you try this? And then they try it and it works. I know that Harikesh Maharaj at that time was telling to me after I was I had been a translator and I was not so good on Sankirtan. I went for 5 years or so, but it was clear I'm too talkative, maybe, or I don't know. So he then said, why don't you go and visit the people who have received books and who are interested? And wow, Gopi Gita, I found myself entirely in this. Meeting people who are interested in talking about Krishna. And then I remembered Prabhupada had told me I should do this also. So, but I needed to be pointed in that direction. And you might, older devotees have the responsibility to try to suggest to the devotee. It may not be that on the first try you find it. It may not be, but then you try the next thing. I think they need help because also they don't know what is possible. They just are not yet knowing everything about the movement and what is possible. So, Gita Priya, Gita Vida, Hare Krishna. Gita Priya, übrigens, das mit dem Zopf ist absolut klasse. Kannst du ihr, also sie ist ein bisschen schüchtern, glaube ich, ne? Kannst du ihr erzählen, also das ist, macht sich sehr gut. Ja. Hare Krishna. Good, anyone else? I think I saw 2 devotees and then we will 3 devotees, I see, so I will go. First, perhaps, this our Mataji. I will now talk very briefly, just give very brief answers. Yes?
Thank you for the lecture. I'm very thankful. It was like for me. The question is, it's not about the negativity, but we shouldn't have inside negative talks, but we just have the many lectures here also about that we should work inside. We should be critical towards ourselves. Mm-hmm. So what is the right way to be?
Right way, yes. Yes, yes. Yes, thank you very much. The question is about negative self-talk. We hear in our movement a lot about the rascal mind, the inner enemies which are there. And this is
extremely important for practicing anatta nivritti, that we are critical with our thoughts. Don't trust the mind, I always tell everyone. Yes, but this should lead us to think more about Krishna. It should lead us to you know, if we only think about our anger, our greed, our this and our that, we are on the material platform. And we will never be free from it. Asking the mind to catch the mind doing the wrong thing is like asking a thief to become the policeman. There will be a lot of investigation, but no arrest. So if you to put this more clearly, express it more clearly, if you always only try to find out where you do wrong, where you do bad, and so on, if that is the only thing you do, you will never come to Krishna consciousness, but always remain in material consciousness. That's where we are very different from self-help movement and self-development. It has its place, but only a relative place. No, only it is useful only so and so much percent, but not 100%. But it is useful to. I mean, otherwise your problem could be kalpana, or you imagine yourself to be something which you are not, and you can never purify yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was Syam, Gopal, his name is Subal Gopal. Subal Gopal?
Yes.
Yeah? Subal Gopal? Toller Name. Subal Gopal. Gopal. Yes.
It's a question by Dr. Heiko.
Heiko, oh yeah.
In our last lecture, he's asking which criteria are there to see the spiritual master we should surrender to? How can we see that?
Yeah. Srila Prabhupada gave one answer on this. He said, he who makes Krishna appear in your heart, he is your spiritual master. That is an answer he gave in London to John Lennon and Yoko Ono, two very famous people. I think he expressed in simple ways the essence. The essence is really your when you are with your spiritual master, you should become more Krishna conscious, more desirous to serve Krishna, more willing to surrender to Krishna, to give up your own plans for serving Krishna like this. He who makes Krishna appear in your heart. Das klingt doch, da kann man was mit anfangen, nicht? Also, ja. Ja, there was one last question and then I will end. Unser Bester. Akila, natürlich, wer sonst? Akila. Ja, Akila, please ask your question.
When you talked about not being the body, it reminded me that I heard you once had the experience of going out of your body during a surgical operation.
Yeah.
When I heard it, it sounds very instructive.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Akila, Prabhu, yes, it was. I did have an experience of this. It was during a surgery here in the Waldkirchen, hospital, just 20 kilometers from here, where I first became
aware of the surge of the pain. The anesthesia was too small for me, and I felt how they were cutting my belly to repair something inside, and panicked. And at moments later, something snapped, if you so wish. The connection with the body was interrupted, and I saw myself in the operation theater, but looking down on my body. I saw not with these eyes, but I saw with other eyes, looking down on my body and being the witness of my own surgery. Then I wanted to see if the devotee who had promised to pray for me was in the waiting room in the hospital, and if he was actually praying, because he was a pujari, and pujaris get up very early, and I thought most probably he's sleeping now, you know, and not praying. So I went, I wanted to go. I remember still, I did not really know how do I move now, you know. But then I fixed my mind on the waiting room, and somehow within seconds, I remember I passed through wards and I came to the waiting room, and there he actually was, and praying very, very hard, you know, very sincerely. Never forget, Agnidev was his name, a devotee from Austria at that time. And if I would tell about the whole thing, I can tell one day, but then I need an hour and a half to tell about everything. It was really an amazing experience, and I finally came back into the body and woke up from as I was wheeled outside of the surgery room. I still remember the anesthetist, the doctor who gives you the anesthesia. He said, "I told you, you would not feel anything." And I almost took my fist and grabbed him, you know. But I was too tired and also too excited from the experience that I still remember. It was so. He spoke in Swedish to me. I knew Swedish at that time. I spent a whole year in Sweden and I learned the language. So yes, but Akila, I will say something, which is because you are my god brother and you are a very senior devotee. Although I did make this experience of being different from the body, seeing through other eyes than the eyes of the body, you know, this experience, I do sometimes forget. When there is a wonderful meal, for instance, like yesterday, wow, we had the best meal yesterday. Because I feel you can understand you are the body only when the consciousness is purified. These spiritual things, even I'm not the body, the very beginning, is only possible to be understood when the consciousness is purified. And therefore, Prabhupada says, the only way to understand we are not the body and an eternal soul is through bhakti yoga, no? The practice of devotional service, because that purifies the heart, and then you can understand if the mind is not purified or the consciousness is not purified and it is muddled, so ein bisschen zugeschlampt, nicht? Then it's not within your grip, this understanding.
although you one might have had such an out of body experience, I understand I'm not the only one. There's a lot of literature on this. Many people had this out of body experience, but they return and they become covered again if the consciousness is not purified and not an active effort is made to purify the consciousness. Anyways, Prabhus, it is a little late. Thank you very much, every single one of you. It was a wonderful joy to be, not joy, it was so nice to come here. When I came and you all, and there were so many devotees downstairs, I thought, there's no festival, no? Usually when I come to the farm, it is only during festival times. But I used to be here in the old days, and I know how that there are not so many devotees outside of the festival on the farm as they are when there is a festival. You know, it's a really much less quantity. So then I saw so many devotees, then I thought, how am I, is this already Brahmotsava, or am I making a mistake here? And then I understood it was our devotees who came to the retreat of Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj. Yes, then I was informed. It was very nice. I wish you all the best. Thank you very much, those who stay here, to keep this sacred place alive and well. So the farm used to be difficult to manage, but then the magical brothers came and they attracted a lot of young people. I must say I was very inspired yesterday by the program. How do we call this program, Gopi Gita?
It's Simha Sena organizes Simha Flow.
The Simha Sena and Simha Flow, yes. This is something Bhagavati, and your son's name is?
Pundarik.
You might like to check that out. It is for young people. It's really cool. I know two young words. It's a really sincere and very honest, open discussions about our doubts and how we might solve them and so on. Very, very nice. And I think this young people bring so much positive energy. We need you like anything. Good. Then all the best, and see you for those who can make it for Brahmotsava. I know Sanak Sanatan and the family will run to Vrindavan as soon as possible. This is the best idea. All the best. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi. Hari Hari Bo.